Live Creative Now, episode 71.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, hello. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive, and it's how you change the world. Before we get on to today's episode, I wanted to let you know that tomorrow I am hosting a free creativity workshop called Born to Create: Why Your Creative Play is Essential, Not Self-Indulgent. And if you have a hard time getting yourself to do the creative things that you would most love to be doing, this workshop is for you. I created it for you. You will learn the surprising truth about why you feel resistance to that thing that you love to do and you wish you were doing, but you can't get yourself to do. You will learn how to make every creative block your friend. You will see creative blocks differently after this workshop, and you will learn the unexpected science, neuroscience of how creative play affects the brain, and you will never look at creative play again in the same way after this workshop. It's about 90 minutes and it's totally free. I will not be asking you to buy anything on the call. Though if you do stick around to the end, I will have a free gift for you. And yes, there will be a replay for 72 hours, limited time, but the replay link will only go to people who register. So go do that now at freecreativityworkshop.com. That's freecreativityworkshop.com. All right, my last episode, episode 70, was a response to something that somebody posted on Facebook all about what I call the comparison trap, or also known as compare and despair syndrome, or comparisonitis, or whatever you want to call it. If you ever have issues with that comparison causing you grief, check out that episode. You can find it at livecreativenow.com/070 for episode 70. Or if you're on iTunes, it may just pop up next after you've listened to this one. Anyway, today, episode 71, I have a report from my fourth annual Create and Incubate retreat, which was last week, Wednesday through Sunday. I just got back from it. And, you know, a couple days ago, and coming home from a retreat is always a bit of a shock to the system because, you know, I just spent 5 days immersed in creativity and creative play at the retreat, and 5 days wrapped in the most loving, supportive community of creatives that a person could ask for. It's really like living inside a hug for 5 days. It's pretty amazing. And I often really struggle with how to even describe. So it's an experience that's so hard to transmit in just words, right? But given that, granted, I can't transmit it in just words, I'm going to do my best. And here's what I would like to share with you about it. First of all, you know, if you've been listening, if you've been reading my blog or listening to my podcast, you've probably heard me say that if you do something enough, it starts to become normal. Well, The first time I ran my retreat, and I had a dream of hosting a retreat for years. And the first time I ran my Create and Incubate retreat, which was 2013, I kind of carried this undercurrent of tension and anxiety the whole time, because creating space, holding space for people, it's a lot of responsibility. And I was really nervous. How would it go? Were people going to like it? I was really anxious about making sure everyone was happy and having a good time and taking care of everybody's needs, and also making sure that I was getting creative time. And I was, it was not the most relaxing thing the very first time I ran the retreat. And that year was also the first time that I was leading a group in what I refer to as catalyzing sessions, which we do every morning, but what are really improv games. They're theater games. And I was really anxious about that. You know, would people participate? Would they roll their eyes? Would they refuse to participate? I didn't know. The whole thing was this really big experiment. And I created the Create and Incubate retreat because I wanted to make the retreat that I wanted for myself. I wanted it to embody creativity and community and courage and compassion, which, by the way, are the official theme words of Life as a Verb Camp, which is another amazing event. It's a much larger event than my small retreat. It's 150, 200 people, maybe. You should totally come to it in November. It is one of my favorite events of the year, and I'm going to be speaking there this year. I have a short speech that I'll be giving. I'm very excited about. And it's also happening over my 50th birthday. So I am treating Life as a Verb Camp as in my own mind. This is just me. I'm not expecting anybody else to treat it this way, but I am treating it as a big birthday party and life celebration. I can't think of a better way to spend my 50th birthday. Anyway, I wanted to create the retreat that I wanted when I set about to create an incubate retreat, because I knew that it would be so wonderful, but I didn't know if other people would feel the same way. Would people even want to come to something that wasn't a structured workshop or a structured conference? Would they even get how incredibly valuable something like that is? Now, I understood, because I had been going to creative retreats for years, and I knew that there were people out there who would understand, because I go to the Friends of Calligraphy retreat every year. That's been going on for over 30 years, and it's the same people every year. We get like one or two newbies each year, and other than that, it's always drawing from the same pool of people, because once people go, they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. I get it. I'm a lifer now. So I knew how special it is to gather with other creators simply to create. And I knew how energizing it is to be in a room together, each of us working on our own thing. We're not working on something together. Each of us is working on our own thing. And yet, there's something really energizing about seeing and hearing and knowing that other people are creating, and it feeds your own creativity. It's really kind of magical. And I knew how inspiring it is to see what everybody else is up to. So one of the reasons why for my retreat, instead of just having an official sharing at the very end of the retreat, we have a sharing every night, a short sharing. I time it, actually. So each of us gets just a few minutes to share what we've done that day. And it's so inspiring to see what people are up to and how they, you know, transform and change over the course of 5 days together. I understood when I set this goal of making my retreat, I understood how amazing it feels simply to be in the company of other people who get you and who will encourage you and support you and champion you, and who will treat you with this amazing generosity of spirit. It's just so amazing. So, you know, like somebody might say, you threw some of your work in the trash? Oh my gosh, pull it out. Let's take a look at it. Oh my gosh, you rejected this beautiful thing. It's gorgeous. But you know, I get it. If you don't like a piece, here's what I do. I like to either layer over it with gesso or watercolor ground or paint over it or something, or I might cut it up into pieces to find little serendipitous gems. Or somebody this year at the retreat mentioned that their teacher takes their watercolor teacher takes pieces that she's unhappy with and soaks them in a bathtub, and that takes some of the paint off. And then she crinkles the paper, the wet paper up, and then flattens it out again to create some really cool texture, and then uses that as essentially her canvas for a new piece. How incredibly cool is that? We get to hear those kinds of ideas in a group like this. Or this is something else that you might hear. Oh my gosh, you forgot your scissors, or you forgot your waterproof ink. I brought some here. Use mine. That happened to me. I forgot scissors and I forgot waterproof ink, and somebody else had some. Other people had them so I could use them. And hey, somebody brought these Inktense watercolor pencils and said, have you ever used these? Everybody, please check them out. They're really fun. Use them. See what you think of them. They're awesome. These are the kinds of voices that I don't hear in my day-to-day life because I'm working in isolation in my studio. But for those 5 days at Create and Incubate Retreat, we hear this kind of thing all the time. The vibe is pure generosity and sharing and open-heartedness. And in fact, those Inktense watercolor pencils, I did try them and I fell madly in love with them. And in case you haven't heard of them before, I've been seeing people talk about them on Facebook, but I didn't really know what they were. They work like watercolor pencils, which means that you can draw with them just like a regular colored pencil, draw with them dry, but then you can take a wet brush, or even better, you can take a water brush, which is a brush with a built-in water reservoir in the handle. So you don't even have to dip your brush in water. And then when you brush over the dry color with the wet brush, it just blooms into the most vibrant, wet, flowing watercolor, which is what watercolor pencils do. But the Inktense watercolor pencils dry permanent. They dry waterproof. So you can layer over them with more pencil or watercolor or whatever, and you won't get, your colors won't turn to mud. So they're pretty cool. So can you guess what I added to my Amazon wish list? Yes, indeed. A 72 pencil set of the Inktense watercolor pencils. They are in my near future. I also brought a ton of stuff to share too. We all share. And I also bring things that are specifically for the group. I bring several big jars of acrylic poster paints and lots of brushes. And I brought the adult coloring book treasury, both treasury number one and treasury number two, which are coloring books that I contributed designs to. And I brought lots of markers and colored pencils and a big box of magazines and calendars that people could scrounge through and find images to collage if they wanted. And I brought a couple of big books of decorated papers that people could tear out pieces and cut them up and do whatever they wanted. And I brought glue sticks. And I also brought a stack of Reader's Digest condensed books, one for everybody, for altering and playing with. Do whatever you want. I load up my car with all this stuff every retreat so that everyone has something really fun and playful to do if they just want to take a break from whatever project they're working on at any point. And people use this stuff, which totally delights me. One person colored a page from one of the coloring books and she tore it out. I told people, you can tear the pages out. You can do whatever you want. She tore out a page. She colored it. And then she cut it into teeny tiny little squares, and she used those little squares to make a paper mosaic on the cover of one of the Reader's Digest condensed books, which was so cool. And then she typed a poem. Oh, did I mention I brought my mechanical typewriter? Yes, I always bring my mechanical typewriter because mechanical typewriters are just so cool and fun. And she typed a poem on the typewriter and cut that out into strips and collaged that on the book too. And you can see a picture of it over in the show notes. So phenomenally cool. Oh, and did I mention that there is a beautiful pool right outside our window? And every so often, I would notice someone getting up and leaving the room, and a few minutes later, I would see them in the pool. It was so cool. And that reminded me to go use the pool. And it was, the weather was so glorious, as August usually is in this part of California. And God, I did more swimming than I've done since my big trip to Hawaii in 2003. I'm not much of a swimmer, but every day around 4 o'clock, I would put on my bathing suit and my rash guard with the sun protection, and I would set the timer on my iPhone for 20 minutes and just swim laps. And next year, I am adding to my list of things to bring. I'm bringing my snorkel and my mask, because one of the attendees this year did that. She swam with a snorkel and mask, and so she didn't have to turn her head to breathe. And I hate getting water in my ear. So I already have that set aside to take next year. There's also hiking. Some people went hiking into the redwoods, or took a stroll around the pond, or walked the labyrinth, which is, you can see just outside the building where our workroom is, or they just went back to the cottage to take a nap. And one afternoon, this felt so beautifully indulgent, I just sat outside by a splashing fountain and I read my novel that I've been reading. It was just so relaxing. It was so relaxed, the whole thing. There was none of the sense of urgency and pressure and go, go, go that fills my normal life. Well, except that I did allow some of that to leak in this one way. Every morning after breakfast, I did at least one calligraphy video to post to my calligraphy how-to Instagram account. It's instagram.com/calligraphyhowto, all one word. And that is a new account that I started back on June 7th, just purely for calligraphy, exclusively my calligraphy. Because my main account, which is @a_creative_life, a creative life with underscores in between the words, that main account is a huge mishmash because I'm a passion pluralite. And I share whatever I happen to be working on at the time. So I don't have this like beautiful, curated, you know, styled Instagram feed. And I wanted a dedicated calligraphy only account when I started the calligraphy how-to account. And really, I started it as an experiment because I'd been noticing, oh my gosh, look how popular calligraphy has gotten. Who knew? There are numerous Instagram accounts, calligraphy Instagram accounts with tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of followers. And I thought, huh, well, I'm a calligrapher. Let's play around with this calligraphy and let's see, you know, I'm curious how quickly could a person like me grow an audience on Instagram? Let's check it out. So I created the calligraphy how-to account as an experiment. And I've been posting to it pretty much daily, except for the week when I was in the woods at Jazz Camp West. And right before I left for the retreat, the account had this little growth spurt. The growth seems to come in these spurts. It's very interesting. The day I left my house to go drive to the retreat, I had passed 800 followers. And the next morning, all of a sudden, I was at 963. And every time I hit a new 100 level, like at 100, 200, 300, etc., I make a little piece of art with that number in calligraphy. And so I made an 800 piece of art, and then, you know, all of a sudden I was at 963. So I made a 963 piece of art. And then a few hours later, I topped 1,000 and I made a piece of art for that. And, you know, I wanted to surf that wave. I wanted to keep the momentum up. So that's what I did every morning after breakfast was calligraphy stuff. And by the time the retreat was over, 5 days later, I had hit 1,400. So I went from 800 followers to over 1,400 followers. And very coincidentally, I had also just hit 1,400 on my main account while I was at the retreat. So bizarre. So now my calligraphy how-to account actually has more followers than my quote-unquote main account. I've achieved in 2.5 months and 132 posts or something like that, what took me over 3 years and almost 2,000 posts on my other accounts. Pretty funny. I guess that just shows people are a lot more interested in calligraphy than in random RD stuff. But anyway, because I was focused on this calligraphy in the mornings, every morning before lunch, here is what I noticed. It's really fun to create those posts. Most of them are videos. Most of them are people's names because I've been running this ongoing name lottery. So how it works is if you follow my calligraphy how-to account on Instagram and you leave a comment on my most recent name lottery post with and tag a friend in the comment and leave your friend's name that you want me to calligraph, I will write that name in calligraphy. And I do all different styles and I almost always make it a video so you can watch me writing it and then you can give, you know, show your friend. So now I used to do it where you could just ask for your own name, but I'm saying tag a friend and let me calligraph your friend's name rather than your own name to see if people will jibe with that spirit of generosity. Anyway, it's fun for me to do it. I really enjoy it. I could spend all day doing it, but it is also very product oriented. And if you remember my Creative Sandbox Manifesto, rule number 2 is think process, not product. Because here's the thing, when anybody is focused on the end product, when that's really the focus, it very easily turns into perfectionist paralysis. Now, it doesn't turn into perfectionist paralysis for me anymore, but I usually end up writing the name more than once. Sometimes I write it several times. Sometimes I fill up multiple pages with one name trying to get a version that I like. And sometimes I end up video recording it more than once too, because I want it to be the best I can make it. Now, no longer aiming for perfection. I'm still practicing imperfectionism intentionally, because it's never perfect. I'm never going to be able to make it perfect. And very often I am really not as happy with my efforts as I would like to be. And sometimes I hold off on posting and I think, oh God, I cringe at the idea of posting it. But at some point I just have to accept that this is what I'm capable of right now. It's not going to get any better right now, and I'm not going to spend 8 hours on this. So I always end up posting it, even if I'm not 100% happy with it, and I move on. And, you know, most people are not calligraphers, so they think it's amazing, even when I'm really unhappy with it. Anyway, this is one of the ways I practice imperfectionism, which is so critical with calligraphy, because calligraphy brings out my perfectionist gremlins like nothing else. But it's not just the lettering and the time writing out the name with my iPad camera turned on video, you know, running on the video record app. It also means I spend a lot of time in iMovie. I'm cropping the videos, you know, getting rid of the dead dead air, and often I have to speed them up in order to fit into Instagram's 60-second maximum time limit for videos. And sometimes if it's a longer video, that means I have to speed it up to double speed, save it, export it to my camera roll, and then open it up as a new project, double speed it again. Sometimes I have to do that multiple times if it's a video that was really long. So I spent a lot of time at the retreat making very product-oriented calligraphy videos, posting them to Instagram, and then, of course, checking my Instagram account to see how many followers I have now and how many people have viewed this latest video and responding to comments, which is fun. I have to admit, you know, it's fun, but instead of playing in the creative sandbox, making messes where it's, you know, there is no wrong, where it's all about exploration and play, which is what I like to do as much as possible at the retreat, because God knows I never get as much of it as I want the rest of the year. Instead of that creative sandbox, total make a mess playtime, I spent a good chunk of my retreat time in a very different vibe and very different headspace from just making messes for the joy of it and following my curiosity. Now, I did get pure creative sandbox playtime in as well. That's pretty much what I did in my afternoons when I wasn't swimming or, you know, reading a novel or something. But I got a lot less pure creative sandbox playtime than I would have had I not been obsessively Instagramming. I mean, that's just the way it works. I can't, you know, I can't split the, you know, the space-time continuum and spend time Instagramming and at the same time spend time in the creative sandbox playing and making messes. Now, I don't regret it. It was fun. But I do think that next year, I would like to set a different intention, because I would like to get more of that unadulterated creative sandbox make a mess playtime. And this is a perfect example of applying my golden formula. My golden formula, which you've probably, if you've listened to this podcast at all, you have heard me say many, many times, is self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. Self-awareness plus self-compassion. They really do equal the key to everything good. So how does this apply? Well, first of all, self-awareness means noticing that I felt disappointed that I didn't feed my need for pure play and exploration more than I did. Just noticing that sensation, that experience. Now, in my younger years, even 5 or 6 years ago, I probably would have beat myself up for that. But I have learned that loving myself up works ever so much better. Don't beat yourself up. Love yourself up. Be self-compassionate. So what is that self-compassionate response? Well, first of all, I can acknowledge that I'm human. I am definitely not the only person on the planet who has ever gotten pulled away from a goal by the gravitational pull of social media. And I get to forgive myself for that. And I get to decide in advance how I'd like things to be different next time, so that next time I'll have the best chance of meeting my needs. So that might look like no social media over the course of the retreat. It might look like I keep my phone on airplane mode for the entire retreat. I get to decide that. This, my dear listener, is how it works. You get to notice, and then you get to love yourself up, and then tweak to adjust. No beatings, no lambasting, just noticing and loving yourself up and tweaking to make things better. Lather, rinse, repeat. This is our goal for life. I mean, this is how it works. Meanwhile, while I am noticing and treating myself with self-compassion and making decisions or determinations on how the intention I'd like to set for next time, meanwhile, I get to bask in the glow of also noticing that this retreat, the fourth annual, was absolutely the best create and incubate retreat yet. Why do I say that? Now, that's not to say that the other retreats weren't good. They were wonderful. Every single one of them has been. But this one was absolutely the best yet because, first of all, I was more relaxed than any other retreat. You know, you do something enough and it becomes normal. And I was so relaxed leading the opening circle and leading the catalyzing sessions and leading the sharings in the evenings. I felt so just relaxed, relaxed and comfortable. And I feel like I've sort of hit my stride this year also in terms of the structure. There's not a whole lot of it, but there is a little bit of structure. And I feel like I've really gotten down to a really lovely groove. It feels really good. I also am so pleased that in my afternoons, when I was not obsessively creating calligraphy videos, I reacquainted myself with color, which was so fun. I have been, my art play for all of 2016, almost all year, has been almost purely black and white. I've done a little bit of color, but most of it has been drawing in bed in a sketchbook with my Pigma Micron black markers. So I've been doing a ton of black and white work, and I got back to making messes with color, which was so fun. I love color. So it's clearly time for me to figure out how to get some regular color play back into my day-to-day days. And my morning ritual is in a transition phase right now. It's really shifting away from doodling in black and white in bed. And I'm trying to figure out how to get color play into my days. I don't have that figured out yet, but that's my intention. Back to the retreat. I also, one of the reasons it was absolutely the best yet is that I have laughed. I laughed last week more than I have in a long time. Now, there's always tons of laughter. I don't know that there was more laughter this year than there was previous years. There's always tons of laughter. We laugh during our catalyzing sessions in the mornings, and we laugh during our games nights. And on Friday night, last year we played this word picture word game. It's kind of like telephone. It's sometimes referred to as exquisite corpse, where one person writes a phrase, like a saying or a common phrase or something, and then the next person has to illustrate that. And then the next person only sees the illustration, and they have to write what they think the phrase is that goes with that illustration. And then the next person just sees what that person wrote and has to draw an illustration. And anyway, it turns out somebody has turned it into a boxed game called Telestrations. There's a link in the show notes. And oh my God, I laughed so hard. Tears were streaming down my face. I was crying from laughing so hard. And we started doing it last year. Last year, one of the phrases was look before you leap. And somehow by the end of going around the circle of people, it became transformed into may I have this dance chicken, which just busted us up last year. And it still makes us laugh this year. And one of the regulars who's been coming every year since we started in 2013, she brought a photocopy of that section, that may I have this dance chicken. My God, it still cracks me up. Anyway, I decided this year, by the way, that those sheets, those exquisite corpse telestration like pieces of paper that we play that game with, I'm going to house them in a special binder that will come to every retreat. I have a special box of retreat supplies, and the binder's going to live in that box so that future retreatants can leaf through our past silliness and get a chuckle. Anyway, As always at these retreats, we had wonderful, rich conversations over breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and after breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And most importantly, every single person who came was exactly the right person to be there. I attracted the right people. And if I should have any doubts about that, they were eliminated on the last day when I gave out sheets where people could sign up to come back next year, even though I don't have the dates confirmed yet, because the retreat center requires a group of 60 or more in order to release dates this early. Once they book a weekend with a larger group, if there's space available, then they will open it up to people like me. So I'm on the waiting list, but everybody at the retreat signed up to come again next year. That's a really big deal. That is social proof. So yeah, boy, I just feel so great about it. By the way, if you would like to snag one of the spots for yourself, I'm not opening up. There will be anywhere from 1 to 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 1 to 4 new people. I will be opening up spots for, 1 to 4 more spots, depending on which workroom I'm able to reserve. And those spots are not available yet. But if you would like to be notified when they do become available, I will announce the dates and open the remaining spots as soon as I have a signed contract. So you can just make sure to get on my mailing list to do that. You can go to livecreativenow.com to get on the mailing list, or melissadinwiddie.com to get on the mailing list. And you can also read more about the Create and Incubate Retreat at createandincubateretreat.com. Anyway, also, quick note, I will be giving members of my Creative Sandbox community, my paid community, they will be getting first dibs, FYI. But if there are spots available after my paid members have access to it, then I will open it up to everybody else on my list. Anyway, this retreat is absolutely the best 5 days of my year. And that's saying a lot because I have a lot of awesome days. I have the Friends of Calligraphy retreat in the spring every year. I have Jazz Camp West in June every year. And I have Life is a Verb Camp in November. And they are all so special and so wonderful. And I budget money. I block out the time. I make them a priority to get to. But this retreat that I created, it's finally grown up into what I've always dreamed it could be. And it just fills me up. It just makes me so happy. And yeah, it's absolutely the best 5 days of my year. So that's what I wanted to share with you. The things that I learned from this retreat, even when you have a wonderful, wonderful time, there are always things to learn that you might be able to use to make it better, right? Oh, I think I might not go on Instagram next year. So that's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today and listening to me share about my retreat. If you've been getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends and leave a 5-star rating and review over on iTunes. And if you need instructions for how to do that, because God knows iTunes does not make it very intuitive, just go to livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. And I have a page there with step-by-step instructions for how to leave a review. Makes it really easy. Meanwhile, don't forget to sign up for tomorrow's free online workshop, Born to Create, Why Your Creative Play is Essential, Not Self-Indulgent. And you can sign up for free at freecreativityworkshop.com. That's freecreativityworkshop.com. Until next time. Thanks again for joining me, and go get creating.
Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.